Proverbs chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Well, we're starting out here in chapter 14, where it says in verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. This is talking about her household, not the physical house. Some women could build a house, could build a building. But it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the household, the family. It's talking about the building of the family, the strengthening of the family. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's much truth in that. It's true. It's true. The influence of a mother, not only over the children, but over the husband as well. The husband's the head of the home, right? Yeah. But the wife is the neck that turns the head. You know, behind every successful man is a surprise mother-in-law. Amen. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And we could talk about all kinds of examples today. I talked with a man just the other day about how influential his mother was to him and to the rest of the family. He said she was the best Christian he's ever known. She kept her word. She was consistent. She was not a hypocrite. She did what she said she would do, what was in her heart. She lived. And many have said that about their mothers and grandmothers, about how much they mean to them and meant to them in their life and the prayers of their mother. My mother was the first one to tell me about the Lord. And as a little child, and thinking back about the influence my mom had on me. So it says, a wise woman buildeth her house. You see the contrast here of one that builds and one that tears down. And we can think of many examples of those who have built. And sometimes there are some families or some people that we didn't necessarily see what the mom did and what she went through, what she sacrificed, the work that she did to build her family, but we see the results of it. We do see the results of it. And then in other cases, we see other results, don't we? Now, there are exceptions to this. There are children that go wrong and turn out wrong, so to speak, but they had good parents. And there are good kids that turn out right, that had sorry parents. There are exceptions to this, but there is a general rule, and we've seen it. We can look back in our own lives and see the pattern. There is a pattern here that is established, and I, as a dad, didn't want my children, if they turned out bad and wrong, and God knows my heart. You see, Cain and Abel grew up in the same household, didn't they? They certainly did. Same household, same parents, same time frame, same influence, same teaching, same instruction. One was a good man, the other was not. The influence of parents, I wanted my children, regardless of how they turned out, I didn't want to be blamed for them not turning out right. I didn't want them pointing their bony finger in my face and say, "Dad, it's your fault that I got in trouble." And I know I've got relatives, I've got friends, I've seen the lives of in situations, and I'm going to make a statement here again this morning. I know very little about you and you folks and your family, so don't take this personal. I'm not speaking of you personally. I'm talking about my own experiences and my own life, my own family. Every family is dysfunctional to a degree, isn't it? every family. And we don't have to go far to see some bad behavior. We don't have to go far. But there's this principle here, and it's stated, every wise woman buildeth her house. It's talking about the wise contrasted with the foolish, but the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. It's almost like they're trying to destroy their family. We're reading these stories about drug addiction and alcoholism, and we're talking about women with children that are behaving like this. And it's almost like the drugs and alcohol has such a grip on these moms that they disregard the lives of their children. And it's like this verse says, the foolish plucketh it down with their hands. And it happens very quickly, doesn't it? It doesn't have to take decades to happen. It can take a very short period of time. And so, the wise woman, it says, buildeth her house. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4 says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now there is, I know the difference between the house that I grew up in and the home, and I say house, I'm not talking about the physical house, the home that I had growing up and the home that we've had for our children. My mom and dad, I don't know if you know, and I probably mentioned it before, were divorced when I was 15 years of age. And a lot of different things, a lot of things going on there that I could share with you and may share with you along the way, but a difficult childhood because of some things going on. And I know the difference between a house that's built upon wisdom and that understanding, as it says here, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I do know that my mom and dad were not faithful to church when I was a child, as they should have been. They didn't get right with the Lord until later on, actually after they were divorced. And I got right. I was saved at 11 and got in church at age 15, right before mom and dad divorced. So this influence that's shared here, talked about here, it's very powerful, and it goes a long way. A lot can be learned. And you may not, whether you had a good mom, whether you had a bad mom, I don't know. But regardless, you can learn from that. There's things to be learned and to be understood. And our eyes should be turned towards the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 13 through 15, it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers to go on their ways. This is a wicked woman here it's talking about. I read a story this morning about a mom that was involved in prostitution and how it devastated her family. There's so much out there, and we see wickedness on every hand, but we do see good women, we do see good moms, and there are good examples to follow, but there's those that there's bad ones to be aware of too, and to recognize and to know. Do we want to be wise? We can be. You see, we make choices, don't we? We make choices. There are consequences with the choices that we make. Consequences. Some decisions that we make, choices we make, has good consequences that are attached to them. Some have bad. There are certain things you can do that it's going to turn out wrong no matter how you look at it, no matter what angle you're looking at it. And there are some things you can do that's going to be right because you've done the right thing and God's going to honor that. Well, God honors this, as he says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Verse 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Now again, this is talking about the fear of the Lord is what results in the walking in his uprightness, fearing the Lord. They go together, don't they? If you fear the Lord, you're going to walk in your uprightness, in his uprightness. What does this uprightness mean? It means walking down the paths of righteousness for his namesake, doing the right thing because we fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord, remember, is a reverential respect. It's a fear of displeasing Him. It's not as much, and there, we should fear His chastisement, and we should fear His correction, shouldn't we? No one wants to get taken to the woodshed by the Lord, and that shouldn't be something that we would want to experience. We do know that can happen if we get far enough out of line where He has to spank us back into line, and that happens. It's happened to me. But the walking in His paths of righteousness and doing the right things, it results in the blessings of God. And so look at the verse. It says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." So I fear the Lord in that I don't want to disrespect Him. I don't want Him to be displeased with my behavior. I don't want Him to be displeased with my life. But I also fear misrepresenting Him. That is, I don't want anyone to look at me and say, well, if that's what a Christian's like, I sure don't want to be one. Or he's a hypocrite. It's just what he says. He doesn't live what he preaches or what he proclaims. I want to practice what I preach. I want to practice what I teach. We should desire that. And that comes from the fear of the Lord. Is it just because I want the recognition of man? No, I want the recognition of the Lord. I want His blessing. And if we have His blessing, everything else will be fine. It says, but he that is perverse, the word perverse means crooked, out of line, going the opposite or the wrong direction, perverted in his ways. His perverse in his ways despiseth him. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Despiseth who? The Lord. Disrespectful to the Lord. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, but he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." You want your soul preserved? Keep your way. Ask the Lord for help and guidance and direction. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Then in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6, it says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." How much value does the world put on riches today? We're not talking about having enough. You know, it's not the high cost of living, it's the cost of living high. The cost of living high, which is the problem here. Well, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us time and time again. If I want to have the wisdom of God, I must fear Him. It means a reverential respect. It means I fear displeasing Him. It means I fear misrepresenting Him, and also fear His correction and His chastisement. I fear that. Then down in verse 3, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." This rod of pride here, the mouth of the foolish. Remember, we've talked about the difference between pride and humility. Pride is very visual, very outspoken for the most part, very recognizable. If someone else has pride, it's usually very easily recognized. It's on display by actions and words, by things we say and by what we do. But humility is not that way. It's not noticed. It's quiet. It behaves itself. It keeps its thoughts to itself and its criticisms and its things that could be said. It's not only criticism, but harsh, deriding speech. Do you remember when Christ was on the cross and folks walked by and the Bible says derided Him? That was a strong verbal attack. They talked harshly, blasphemously to the Lord. They said things about Him and to Him they should not have said. while he was on the cross. Some part of it was, hey, if you say, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross. And we'll believe you. That was part of it. Other things they said, making fun of the Lord and saying harsh things to him. Well, that's what proud folks do. In the mouth of the foolish, this foolish person uses is a rod of pride. And this rod that it's talking about here is not the same rod that it's talking about back in verse 24, chapter 3. It's not the same rod. It's talking about one. This rod that it's talked about here in verse 3 is one that inflicts severe punishment, severe pain, almost destroying, and with a desire to destroy. Do you know that you can, in 5 minutes, say something or less? It doesn't take 5 minutes. You can say something in just a few seconds that will last forever in the ears and the minds and the hearts of those that hear it. Doesn't take long, doesn't it? I mean, you can think back of some things that folks have said to you, and some good and some bad, but hurtful things people have said, and some encouraging things that people have said. Has anybody ever said anything to you to hurt your feelings just out of meanness? Yeah. Why would they do that? They're full of foolishness and pride. But what does it say here? The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Meaning that the wise are going to be remembered for good things. They're going to be preserved in the hearts and minds of those who hear them. Let me give you a couple of verses here. It's very, very interesting. In talking about this, it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8, it says, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." There's anger that's involved with the foolish speech. Then in Psalm 12 verse 3, it says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things." Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 6 says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." So there's deliverance, there's help, there's blessing from the mouth, the words of those who are wise. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Is it talking about preserving them? Yes, preserving their reputation, preserving their life. But it's also talking about preserving the ones who they speak to, because it's health to those who hear it, and it's help. It's appreciated. And so let me remind you that the words that we say, whatever is in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth. So if we want to have good words, we need to have a good heart, don't we? Well, heart needs to be right with the Lord. There's times that we, even if we're not careful, even while we're trying to live for the Lord, in the right situation, we'll say something, it'll come out, and we'll wish we could just reach out and grab it and put it back in. But you can't. And so be careful. Ask for the Lord's help every day to guide the words that you say. Verse 4 is an interesting verse, isn't it? "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Has anybody here ever seen an ox in person? A few folks. I have one time, and I was overwhelmed by how large it was. The ox that I saw was about that high at the shoulder. And I'm looking up at the head. I've never seen, that's an ox? Yeah. Saw it down at the Appalachian Museum down in Norris, Tennessee, when they have the Appalachian thing there at the festival there at the end in fall sometime. They had an ox there. And I thought, wow, how would you take care of something like that? Can you imagine cleaning out the stall from a beast that big? It'd be a lot of work, wouldn't it? Can you imagine how much food, how much you have to provide for it to eat? But is it worth it? Apparently. It's apparently worth it. And was in Bible days to have an ox, because the work that they did far outweighed the effort and the cost that it took to take care of it. So that's the principle that's given here. It says if you're going to have an ox, you have to take care of it. But it's worth it because much increase is by the strength of the ox. You can apply that to a lot of different things. We can make application for a church building, for a ministry, for a children's ministry, for a bus ministry, for an adult ministry. It's going to cost something and it's going to take some work. But is it worth it? It is. What about taking care of a pastor? If you're going to have a pastor, you have to take care of him and his family. Sometimes it takes a little thought, a little effort, a little work to do that. But it has to be done. It's part of it. Now, it's an interesting verse. Let me share this with you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, speaking as such. It says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." You know what that means? They're going around in a circle with that grinding stone, and they're treading out the corn, and the corn's falling down there. The law of Moses says you let them eat while they work. You don't muzzle them. You don't put a muzzle on them where they cannot eat while they work. They earn that. And you want them to have strength enough to work, right? Yeah. Sure. And so you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Now, that was the law of Moses. And then he says, "Doth God take care for oxen, or saith it altogether for our sake?" So he says that this is also a New Testament principle. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, he says, "For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." It says, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal or material things?" And so he's saying here that he's talking about taking care of God's ministers here, the pastor. That's what it's talking about here. It says if he is giving you spiritual food, then you take care of his material food, physical food, physical needs. And there's different ways, and I've pastored three churches, and each one of the churches that I pastored, just by way of sharing something interesting, I never asked for a certain amount for a salary. They didn't ask me, and I didn't tell them. But what we did, there was a mutual trust here, mutual understanding, that they were going to do their best to take care of us. And they did. Isn't that amazing? They did. So thankful for that. Never had to ask for money. They took care of us, and I'm so thankful for that. So every church is different. Every pastor is different. The size, the work, the effort, how much it takes to get it done, how much it takes to take care of this property, you see. But it's worth it. It belongs to the Lord, and we should take care of it by His grace and His strength. So it's an interesting verse, isn't it? Right here in the middle of this passage, you wouldn't think, why is that there? We don't know why it was right there. But it is, because these are independent thoughts. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Well, it's all swept and clean and nice, and you can show it off. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. So let's take care of the ox, whatever that might be, in the work of the Lord. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. We've actually talked a lot about lying, because Proverbs deals with lying a lot, doesn't it? So apparently it's something that needs to be dealt with. And we've talked about, some folks call it, well, that's just a little white lie. Or that was just a fib. Or I had my fingers crossed. We talk about it like that, and it's kind of funny in a way, but in another way it's not funny, because depending on what the situation is, we need to realize that God's character is truth, and He expects us to be truthful, and He expects us to be honest. Now, in time of war, we find Rahab the harlot, when she hid the spies that came in to spy out Jericho, she hid them. And you know what she said? I don't know where they are. Why, she did too. Did she lie? Yes, she did. But she lied in a time of war. Which, in time of war, through the scripture, in history is concerned, if you're at war, it's you're protecting your country. It's a time of war, and you do what you have to do. Now, not that there's not sins that's committed during that time, but God honored her faith, didn't he? And nowhere was she, did God rebuke her for being dishonest. As a matter of fact, he rewarded her, and her entire family got out of there and was not killed when the walls of Jericho came down. God honored that. And she actually became part of the lineage, the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And she's mentioned in the book of Hebrews and God's Hall of Fame of Faith. So we need to make sure we understand what we're talking about here. Notice it says in this verse, a faithful witness. A witness. You could have a courtroom situation. We got someone, and back in Bible days, it was a gate place situation. All these things were dealt with at the city gates, and it was very public. And you had one person saying one thing and another person saying another thing. Mm-hmm. Who was telling the truth? Well, it says a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Have you ever known anyone that you couldn't trust them any further than you could throw them? Because they were liars. In Texas, they call it Lars. Lar. You're just a Lar. Well, a prevaricator. One that doesn't tell the truth. This honesty. Let me give you a couple of verses in Proverbs 14, verse 25. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 6, verses 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That's one of the things that God hates. In Proverbs chapter 6, one of those six things that God hates is a false witness that speaketh lies. This witness who's in a has been put under oath, so to speak, and then they lie anyway. Did you know there's folks that'll go into that kind of situation, and they'll say, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, they'll say that, and then they'll turn around and lie. And have you ever heard anyone say, I'd swear that on a stack of Bibles? You know, an honest person really doesn't have to say that. Because your word, your yea is your yea, and your nay is your nay. You don't really have to say, I swear, I'm telling the truth. That's not right in itself. Because you're not supposed to swear on heaven or earth. Your nay should be nay, and your yea, yea. The Lord Jesus said that, didn't he? Well, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5 says, a righteous man hateth lying. But a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. You know, the Ten Commandment, in the Ten Commandments, it says that thou shalt not bear false witness. One of the Ten Commandments, right? Well, those commandments, it's talking about stealing or whatever it might be. One of the reasons why we shouldn't lie to other folks is because we don't want folks lying to us. Have you ever been lied to? We all have, haven't we? How does it feel? It feels bad, doesn't it? It feels bad, and in many different ways it feels bad. You feel betrayed. You feel taken advantage of. Depending on the severity of it, or you know what the consequences of it, could be pretty bad if you've been lied to. So since we don't like to experience it ourselves, shouldn't we be careful not to lie to anyone else? To lie to anyone, because we don't want them feeling the way we felt. Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. I think as we read through the book of Proverbs and the Word of God altogether, we're going to find that God's essence and character is truth. And that's why he speaks so much and so clearly about the sin of lying. And that we need to be so careful that we're not guilty of it. And there's times that we're, and I'm not talking about misspeaking, okay? There's times we say, I had a friend that used to say, they said something and they, I remember now, it was like such and such. And they said, wait a minute, I lied to you. It was like, no, they didn't lie to me, they just misspoke. There is a difference, isn't there? Did you mean to deceive? You see, did they mean to be deceptive? That's the key. It's like making a mistake. Did you know all mistakes are not sins? But all sins are mistakes. It is a mistake to sin, but it's not a mistake. You understand what I'm saying? It's wrong to sin. If I turn in the wrong entrance, have you ever been trying to get to McDonald's or the dry cleaner or wherever it is and turn in the wrong entrance? That's a mistake. You didn't do it on purpose. You see, there's a difference there. We're talking about knowingly deceiving someone is what he's talking about here. And generally speaking, the bottom line is it goes back to pride. We cannot and do not want to admit the truth. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we get our life out of sort. So let's keep our life on the right path and following down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed.